Johnson was taking cover in a bunker designed to protect troops against much smaller warheads, weighing only 60 pounds.
Knocked the wind out of me, followed by the most putrid-tasting ammonia, tasting dust that swept through the bunker, coated your teeth.
After the blast wave and debris came the flames.
The fire was just rolling over the bunker, you know, like 70 feet in the air.
Johnson's bunker provided no protection from that.
We're going to burn to death. We start heading down 135 meters, make it about a third of the way there. The big voice, we call it, clicks in, incoming, incoming, take cover, take cover, take cover. I've got another football field to run. I don't know when this next missile is going to hit.
Can you hear the incoming?
Like a freight train going by you.
So that was from Sunday night 60 Minutes, the second story, which I highly recommend if you haven't seen it. You remember when Trump killed that Iranian general, their top general, obliterated him with a drone strike? Well, Iran's response to that was firing some missiles at our base in Iraq. And the story at the time, as I remember it, was it looks like they gave us a heads up. We got everybody out of there. They kind of fired something to save face, and that was about it. Well, Sunday night, at least it was the first time I'd heard the real story. It was a serious attempt, it certainly appears, to take out a whole bunch of planes and equipment and a bunch of people, and it's a miracle that we didn't have a bunch of Americans die.
Let's talk about the attack, the spin, the could-have-beens with military analyst Mike Lyons, served with the United States Army in various capacities in the U.S. and Europe, Bronze Star winner for his actions in combat. Mike, how are you, sir?
Hey, good morning, guys. Great to be back.
Anything you want to straighten out about our setup before we get into our questions?
No, spot on. I'm still trying to get my head around what we were thinking. And, you know, that was surely not a recruiting video for the U.S. military. How do we allow ourselves to get pounded like that from the Iranians? And the same thing I had heard back at the time was they had targeted empty buildings, and my sources told me that was what happened. Now, so when that major told that story, you know, a little bit concerning, too, when he begins that with a goodbye to his son. I'm always concerned about people like that in combat, only because, you know, self-fulfilling prophecies come true. I could tell you when I was in combat, I had a lot of my soldiers wrote goodbye letters to their wives and things like that. And my wife always asked me why I never did that. And it's because I just think self-fulfilling prophecies come through. I didn't come 8 time zones to die in that desert. Anyway.
Interesting. That's really interesting stuff right there. I realize that's kind of an aside, but that's a fascinating psychological thing.
Yeah, and the fact that you're a soldier, you can't think that way. And the way that whole 60-minute story began, and then as I started, you know, getting more into it, I'm just looking at this going, we got to be kidding here. But I also think after talking to folks in the Trump administration, it's all about how they communicated with the president.
So what I've been trying to figure out since I watched that, why did our Pentagon or government, whoever made the decision, want to keep it a secret that Iran came at us so hard?
Yeah, I think it had to do with kind of what we're doing as normal business right now, and the fact that presidents, and I think the last drone strike that President Biden just did is another example of, so our presidents are getting out of touch with what the commander-in-chief is supposed to do, because Trump should have been briefed on all the aspects of this top to bottom. When that mission was over, should have been briefed and should have been told the extent of the damage that was there. But it seems as though what was only communicated to him was nobody died. And so that was the bar. That was the bar. So long as nobody died, we're not going to do anything. We're not going to retaliate. I just don't get why we didn't retaliate. It just goes to show that we don't have any strategic vision. We don't have a strategic deterrence. For example, you do that to the Israelis, the strategic deterrence is you got 1x comes to us, you're getting 10 times coming back to you. And I don't understand why we didn't have Patriot missiles there. We had airplanes there, and what was it, a politically not expedient to put them there, or the signal that would send? I mean, all those mistakes we've made in the past in the 90s in Mogadishu. So again, time after time, these people are so close to the situation, and the president just didn't ask the right questions. And the fact of the matter is, the bar wasn't casualties. The bar was they destroyed equipment. They destroyed a lot of different things, and we got to retaliate.
Right. Well, they also caused a tremendous amount of traumatic brain injury. Just real quickly, Mike, we got a note from somebody in intelligence who knows of somebody who knows of somebody who was in the Situation Room when the attack was happening, and says that President Trump wanted to strike back immediately and was talked down by Mike Pompeo. Who knows if that's true? I'm a little surprised that you're assuming that the president didn't know the full extent of the attack and the damage done.
Well, so communication. This gets back to what I've talked to people that have been around the president say, you've got to speak his language. So usually a guy like Donald Trump is not talked out of something like that. But if that was the case, if that happened, if Pompeo talks him out, he would be the guy that could do it because he speaks the president's language. And in most cases, that means getting in the word no casualties within the first 5 seconds of the conversation. And that's really what I think is happening here. And I think that the president didn't rely on his instincts well enough, didn't even seem there was a plan for it. For example, the second those rockets left Iranian territory, we had targeted on them. We could have responded immediately to them. But I also think, again, that question gets back to where are the air defense capabilities and why, if we were going to have all these airplanes sitting in the middle of the desert in Iraq, we don't have any way to protect them. What were we thinking? We'd seen them use those rockets before.
If 3 or 70 Americans had died in that attack, which could have very easily happened.
Right.
I feel like if we were told about it, I don't think you could keep that secret. There would have been pretty big public pressure for and world pressure to strike back, wouldn't there have been?
Absolutely. And that's why that shouldn't have been the bar. And I think, how the story even comes out right now, it obviously fell through the cracks between the two administrations because it just doesn't make us look good. Now, even in the Biden administration, it comes out, and if he wants to make things better in the Middle East, this story doesn't do that either. So I'm just surprised on how graphic and how much detail came out. You get a four-star general there speaking about how we're basically running away from these Iranian incoming missiles. I'm just shaking my head saying you had the JOB job to defend that place, not to take a pounding like that, but be ready to deliver one back. So I don't know. I'm really concerned.
Military analyst Major Mike Lyons is on the line. The other thing my friend in military intelligence said was that if we had retaliated, that could have been a big step toward an eventual war with China. He said, I don't have time to explain right now. I wonder if you have any idea what was on his mind, geopolitically speaking. How did those steps take place?
Okay, so nobody wants to fight the United States conventionally. I'm not sure, if that means that China would have done something in the South China Sea, maybe that would be the case. But no one wants to fight the U.S. conventionally. And so we've got to play to our strength. And this would have been our strength. Our strength would have been responding to this one particular attack. Now, again, he's making a presumption, or she's making a presumption, that China is going to start something with us. I just don't think that's going to be the case. Again, deterrence. What keeps these other countries from doing this in the very beginning? We know what China is because China knows it doesn't want to get into a conventional war with us. So what, again, you look at all these excuses that come out about why we attack and we don't attack. Again, go back to the Syrian, or the recent one where the Biden administration thought it was okay now to attack Iranians or Iraqis inside of Syria for a retaliation for a drone strike, 2 weeks ago. My head is just shaking because where is the strategic deterrence? The person who comes up with the next mutually assured destruction, the next strategic deterrence to keep these countries from attacking us, wins the next Nobel Peace Prize.
Interesting. So on the timing of this story coming out, Iran's been in the news a lot. The Biden administration and leadership in Iran have been going back and forth of, you got to do this. Well, we're not going to do this, negotiating. Mm-hmm. And they said they won't even sit down with us. And they said you're not allowed to have surprise inspections anymore. And we're going to keep mm-hmm. enriching uranium, all these things. Any chance that we wanted this story to come out to help move public opinion toward these are bad guys we might have to attack?
Well, I don't see us attacking them again either because we don't have any real resources there. We have to deploy. Everyone's gone. I mean, those days are over of trying to do anything on the ground there. We can fight them from the air and drone strikes and things, but those days are over. If anything, we're leaving out of Iraq faster than we are before. And we've got an off-ramp to Afghanistan, but again, those troops are nowhere in the neighborhood either. So, I don't know what's going on. This administration is trying to resuscitate this relationship with Iran just because Donald Trump, of what he did. So it's dumb, it's foolhardy. The bottom line is, We need to be all out of the Middle East unless we have unless we come back with a clear strategy as to how we want to deal with it. It's a tinderbox. It'll blow up. But the bottom line is, unless we're going to come up with some other strategy from a military perspective, we're just wasting our time.
Great stuff. Military analyst Major Mike Lyons. Mike, it's always enlightening. We sure appreciate the time.
Thanks for having me.
It's a tinderbox. It's going to blow up, he says.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what it reminds me of a little bit is the first attack on the World Trade Center in 93, I think it was. And we didn't really respond, and we didn't pay much attention to it, and kind of acted like, eh. And then years later, you get a more significant attack. I feel like this is kind of one of those. I mean, we sent the message to another group of bad guys of, you can come at us pretty hard, and we don't really pay attention. We don't respond, and we don't really do much.
I like Mike's rule of 10 to 1. You hit us with one, we're going to hit you with 10. You want to hit us with two, we got 20 for you. How long you want to keep this going? I mean, that is deterrence. But Pompeo, Trump, the idea that they were, you know, lily-livered or unwilling to deliver a response, that doesn't ring true to me either.
So Mike Lyons doesn't think Trump got the full story? Or grasped what was going on?
That's what he was suggesting, yeah.
Now, Sean says the anti-Trump version of this is that the Pentagon did not want Trump involved in something that could lead to a war with him as president. So they didn't tell him what happened because they were afraid of how he'd react.
Mike seemed to be suggesting, yeah, that was perhaps part of it.
Although Trump, you know, his whole thing was not getting involved in these Middle Eastern countries. That was his whole thing. I mean, that's what he ran on. That's what he talked about all the time. So his default setting is to not get involved in these things.
Well, and with all due respect to the anti-Trump media, which is everywhere all the time, it's also possible they said, look, we have a couple of choices. Number one, we could retaliate, which means we are going to be fighting Iran on and off in various ways for a very, very long time. You will be the war president in the Middle East. And he said, and it's possible he said, all right, let's see what happens next. We'll hold back for now.
To wrap this up now, unless you want to talk about it more later, did you see Tucker last night?
Just the first part.
So his whole first segment was about how he just thinks it's awful that Biden sent any missiles into, against Iranian militias. It fought back at all. He just thinks that's terrible, that we shouldn't be involved in the Middle East at all. China's the only threat in the world. I couldn't figure out where he was going until he got to this, but I kind of see this, you know, the Obama administration, now we're going back three presidents, wanted to pivot away from the Middle East to China. Why are we getting sucked into Iraq and Afghanistan and Syria and these various places? None of those are going to change our way of life or end America. China actually could, and that's right. Their goal, and they could actually pull it off. So why isn't that our sole focus?
I just think we're still operating under the assumption that we broke Iraq, so we bought it. Yeah. We've got to help defend it because we broke it.
I think we say sorry about that. Are bad and move on.
Take full responsibility?
I take full responsibility.
Well, okay, that settles it then.
I don't know. I'll tell you the most interesting thing is Mike Lyons seems to be as confused about this as anybody else. And he's got a lot of connections and a lot of history of understanding the way the world works.
Well, and he won a Bronze Star right there. So he knows the area.
Yeah. Fascinating. Text line 415-295-KFTC.